This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to talk about the very real power of evil that is confronting our nation, confronting our world. And this very real power of evil confronts you, your families, people you know. You know, many, many years ago, when I was raised in an atheistic household in New York City, I was taught by my parents that there was no such thing as evil, that there was no such thing as a devil or Satan. And the books I read, and my parents basically taught me that evil was nothing more than human ignorance, and that you could solve the problem of evil by educating people, by developing people. So I was taught that evil, in the sense of the Christian position, was not real, that there was no such thing as a devil, a personal devil, or Satan, especially. In fact, that was really pounded into my head, that this idea that the Christians taught in the Bible that there's a Satan who commands fallen angels, or a Lucifer. I was taught to reject that, to laugh at that, to mock that idea. And I did. I thought it was really, you know, kind of pathetic when people believe that. I thought it was ridiculous, because I was ingrained in this humanistic, atheistic thought, which said there was no God and there was no devil or Satan. And certainly between the two, there couldn't possibly be a personal devil or a personal Satan. So every human problem on planet Earth, from war, starvation, whatever, it had nothing to do with the power of pure evil, or the power of Satan, demons, and fallen angels. It all had to do with not having enough knowledge, not having enough education, and that if we could give people the knowledge and education and development they needed, that these so-called evil problems would go away. I remember, even after I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, hitchhiking on the back roads of Missouri, that it must have been at least a year since the time I was saved. It was about a year until the Lord brought me to the place where I understood that there really was a personal devil or a personal Satan. And, you know, I would attend Bible studies, I would read the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. And I was growing spiritually. But somehow, you know, I couldn't bring myself to believe that there was a personal Satan or a personal devil. I just thought it was ridiculous. And I remember talking to a pastor who was discipling me at the Lamb's Club in Times Square. And I made some passing remark about evil and the devil. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but he interrupted me. And he made me put the brakes on what I was saying, because he wanted to properly instruct me in the Bible, properly instruct me in truth. And so he didn't allow me to continue on talking as if evil was just some kind of abstract force, and that, you know, there was no personal devil or personal Satan, which was basically what I was saying to him. So he kind of nipped it in the bud, and he looked at me in the eye, and he confronted me in love, because true love confronts. And he said, "You know, Paul, you're wrong here. He said, the Bible very clearly teaches in God's word that there is a real personal devil or a personal Satan or a personal Lucifer, that this is a very real being, a supernatural being who is a fallen angel and is waging war against God in this earth. And he said to me, evil is a very real force. It's just, evil's not just a matter of not being educated, developed, or having opportunities. Evil is a spiritual force used by a real devil or a real Satan. And that was like getting hit in the head with a 2x4. It was tough for me to process that. I mean, I didn't reject what he was saying, but he kind of hit me with it hard and directly, and it caught me off balance because I was so convinced that I was right. But what he was doing, and it was somewhat painful at the time, but what he was doing is he was pointing out that my belief system was really based on the humanistic training I received as a child and a young adult. And that humanism, which teaches that there is no God and that there is no devil and that there is no evil, there's only ignorance or a lack of development or whatever, that those were all humanistic thoughts and ideas. He said to me, but the truth of the matter is there is a real Satan and a real devil. And I had to think about that for a while, and I had to study the Bible myself for a while, and I wrestled with that after he confronted me with it for, I don't know, a couple of months. And as I began to read the Bible more deeply on this subject, I began to realize that what I believed, which was based on my humanistic upbringing, was not true. Because God's word, very clearly, when you study it, reveals that there is a personal Satan, a personal devil, who was the highest ranking fallen angel, who was the highest ranking angel, and then he fell because Satan or Lucifer is an angel who has fallen. And along with Satan or Lucifer, 1/3 of the angels have fallen with Lucifer, and they are the fallen angels. And Lucifer has a desperate lust to be God. And right now, even as we speak, Lucifer or Satan is in the process of leading a revolution against God, because Lucifer or Satan wants to be God. Lucifer or Satan wants to kick God off his throne, conduct a regime change, and Lucifer wants to sit on the throne room of God and to be worshipped as God. And Lucifer is also the temporary god of this world. So that was a lot to swallow. But as I began to read different passages in the Bible, as I began to study for myself the book of Revelation, that's why it's so important. You know, you have all these Christian churches that absolutely refuse to read the book of Revelation or teach it or study it. But it's in the book of Revelation most clearly that you see God reveal the fact that there is a devil, there are fallen angels, there is a Lucifer, and that we are involved in this great spiritual battle right now. We're in the last days, we're in the end of the age. And we're involved in this great spiritual battle between good and evil. So, I want to read you something, because I began reading scriptures like this, and they force me to come to terms with the reality that there is a devil. So let me read you something from Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 1, it says, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven," that's speaking of the fallen angels, "and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,160 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So we read here that there's a war going on in heaven, or the invisible realm, or the spiritual world. And Michael, who was one of the highest ranking angels, is leading a battle against Satan or the dragon with God's angels. And Satan or the dragon and the fallen angels are fighting against God, the archangel Michael, and God's angels. There's an intense warfare. This warfare, by the way, is going on in the spiritual realm right now, in your life, my life, in the United States and all across the world. There is a raging battle between God, God's angels, and Satan, and the fallen angels. And some people are serving God, and some people are serving Satan. And it affects absolutely every dimension of life. That's why in the brand new book I've written called The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I talk about the fact that right now we are in the greatest spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. And this battlefield occurs in the spiritual realm, but it also occurs in the hearts and minds and ideas of people. There's a war raging in people's hearts and minds regarding ideas that they believe. And when they believe satanic ideas and lies and deceptions, then they end up being captured by the forces of evil. When they believe in the truth of God's word, they end up being set free by Jesus Christ, and they end up being saved and guaranteed eternal life. So look at everything that happens in your life. Look at everything that's happening in our nation. Look at everything that's happening in our world. And you can look at what's happening from several different levels. You can look at it from a superficial perspective. You can look at it from a merely physical, material perspective. Or you can look at it in a multidimensional factor, which is what the Bible, how the Bible tells us to look at the battle. Because the battle is both physical, it's spiritual, it's mental, it's psychological. And more than that, there are real supernatural beings involved in this battle So when you look at the things that are happening in your lives and the lives of people you know, et cetera, it's not like we're looking for a demon under every dinner plate. But let's not be naive. Many, many times, probably most of the time, when there is a conflict, when there is a problem, when there's something evil happening, when there's something bad happening, there, whatever you're seeing in the physical realm that's evil or bad or whatever, it is connected to the spiritual battle raging in the spiritual unseen world. I was driving in my car, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and I was listening to a particular Christian talk show on the radio, which I just happened by accident to catch it. And it was a Christian psychology program. Okay, so, you know, I don't want to get into the whole topic of Christian psychology right now, but this lady was sharing with the counselors that in her family and among the people she loved, there approximately in a 2 to 3 year period, there were something like, I think it was like 9 mysterious deaths that occurred in just like a couple of years. Now, the counselors were doing the best job they could to counsel her. But the thing that struck me in my spirit, and the thing that the Holy Spirit immediately brought to my mind when I heard her report that something like 9 people very close to her had died in just a period of a couple of years, and these mysterious deaths had started in her childhood, by the way. Immediately, the Holy Spirit brought to my mind the truth that there are very real generational curses that go through family lines, and that what was happening to her was simply not a matter of coincidence or random chance or circumstantial. Now, I'm not trying to judge the Christian counselors. They were doing the best they could, I suppose. I don't know. I don't think, if I had to guess from their answer, I would say that they did not have any knowledge, in-depth knowledge, anyway, of spiritual warfare, generational curses. They were trying to help her process through the post-traumatic distress order from all these deaths. They were trying to help her with her emotions and heal her emotionally and psychologically, because obviously all these deaths had traumatized her, and I'm not here to criticize them in their efforts to do that. But what the Holy Spirit brought to my mind was that there was, that trauma was real, but this very eerie occurrence of all these deaths going back to childhood and then accelerating was to me a glaring indication of the activity of Satan, the activity of demons and principalities and powers operating in a particular family line and passed on from generation to generation in what is called a generational curse. There was no question in my spirit that that was what was really going on. And what concerned me is that even though they were helping her deal with the trauma and the pain and the emotions, unless something is done to spiritually, using spiritual warfare to confront these demonic powers, these satanic powers, this generational curse running through her family. Unless that generational curse is confronted with spiritual warfare and spiritual weapons, there is a very high likelihood, I'm not saying this from an absolute sense, but I'm saying potentially there's a very high likelihood that this will continue, because a root problem has never been dealt with, which is you have to wage war in the primary battlefield, which is the spiritual battlefield, and destroy the work of Satan and destroy the generational curse of death. Because it was too weird. And when she began to name all the deaths, I think one death was the suicide of her husband, and then she named a bunch of suicides and murders and car accidents, and it was just too weird. I mean, they happened close and next to each other, and it was just one mysterious death after another. Well, the Bible teaches about what is called a generational curse, that in family lines, portals are open, for a lack of a better word, in family lines or lineage or genetically. And, you know, people used to scoff at that. And then the modern science of genetics and DNA, just in the last 5 years, they wouldn't call it a genetic curse, but they talk about the fact that the DNA in family lines can contain the memory of past experiences. It can contain, as a Christian, I would say, spiritual memories and curses. It can contain psychological problems, not just on a biological level. The DNA cells themselves can contain the memories and the spirit of things that happened in the past, and then pass it on. So in a family, sometimes a father or grandfather or great-great-grandfather or whatever, or great-great-grandmother or whatever, somewhere in the family line, somebody was either attacked demonically or through occult powers and never fought back spiritually, which opens a door or a portal to demonic power and demonic energy coming upon the DNA and genetics in a family and being passed on from generation to generation. Like in the case of alcohol or drug addiction or sexual addictions, etc., being passed on from generation to generation. But these strange deaths, murders, and suicides, you see, at some point in her family line, her generational line, her lineage, either somebody participated in some kind of occultic ceremony, somebody got involved in either Satanism or witchcraft or the occult, or did something. I mean, this is just hypothetical on my part. Somebody could have, in her family line, it may not have been some like occult thing. Somebody may have been filled with resentment, and let's say a couple of generations back, filled with resentment and anger and rage, got drunk, and in a fit of rage, they murdered somebody. Okay. Now, something like that, if it's not dealt with spiritually, can open the door to a generational curse being passed on genetically through the DNA from generation to generation. So a spirit of murder is invited in and passed on to the family members in future generations. the same thing could occur. Let's say somebody's doing drugs or some horrible thing happens to them, and in a place of total despair, they commit suicide. Yet it's never dealt with spiritually. That can open a portal to a spirit of suicide that comes upon a family, manifests in future generations. The same thing with weird deaths, being murdered, etc., etc. So, when these things happen, you open a doorway in the spiritual world. You open up a portal in the spiritual world for specific kinds of demons and principalities and powers that are, for example, a spirit which causes suicide, or a spirit which causes murder, or a spirit which causes strange deaths. And you see, once you do that, it's passed on through the DNA, it's passed on through the blood in the family line, and then it begins to manifest itself in future generations or the next generation or whatever, or it spreads from cousin to whatever. And so in a particular family line, you see this explosion and this unusually high percentage of suicides, murders, deaths, and untimely deaths and stuff. And that's not just coincidental. It's because there are actual demonic spirits causing that. And so a door was opened, which invited gave these spirits entrance. So unless that door is closed, unless you stop the spirits which are can be passed on through kind of a spiritual genetics. They can be passed on through the DNA from generation to generation in a family line. Unless you deal with that, unless you cut it off, unless you break it spiritually, it will continue to manifest, because Satan goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. And part of the things that demons do is they do stuff like this. Other areas are, you know, incredible sexual immorality can be passed on through family lines. Poverty can be passed on through family lines. Alcoholism, drug addiction, and other things through family lines. So the key here is that you have to know the Word of God, and when you come into contact and knowledge that there's this unusual amount of deaths, as this lady was describing over the air, you have to put an end to it spiritually. If you do not take active steps in spiritual warfare to bind the power of the devil and the demons from attacking, and if you do not actively use your authority in Christ and uproot those demonic powers and sever their attachment to your family line, they're going to continue on producing this harvest of deaths in your family. So you've got to confront it spiritually. And now I'm going to give you a simplified spiritual approach to how you break generational curses and how you confront these demonic powers from taking control of your life, your children's life, grandchildren and family, and so on and so forth. So first of all, it starts like this. Number one is you need to recognize that the activity that keeps happening over and over again is just not a matter of coincidence or circumstance or random chance. You need to recognize, by using spiritual discernment, that that is the operation of specific demons that have been assigned to your family because somebody opened the doorway or a portal and gained them access or entrance because they never dealt with it spiritually. So then the question that needs to be asked, and okay, so how do you deal with the generational curse, let's say like death, murder, and suicide, or unusual deaths? You deal with it if you know what happened in your family background. Like there may be a story passed on in your family background of, let's say, a great-great-grandfather or a great-great-grandmother or uncle or whatever who either committed suicide in some strange way or murdered somebody in some strange way or a series of murders that occurred. There may be some story in your family line that goes back a number of generations. If that's the case, then you kind of know where to start. Now, if you don't, if you never heard such a story, or you have not been able to get any actual knowledge of what could have brought about a spirit causing murder and suicide and deaths coming into your family line, you unable to locate some historical biographical fact where this began to occur, you still use the same approach in terms of spiritual warfare. It's just that you won't be able to name the specific events. You'll have to pray against the events by faith in a general sense, but God will honor it. He'll break the generational curse. So whether you know the exact details or not, you still use the same approach in spiritual warfare, and this is how it goes. And I believe that every believer in Jesus Christ should do this at least once, or perhaps a number of times in their walk with the Lord, when they begin to see, or even before they begin to see, strange manifestations of reoccurring events in children and grandchildren and family members in your own life, et cetera, et cetera. So the first thing you do is you come before the Lord in prayer, and you plead the blood of Jesus Christ over yourself. You receive God's cleansing of all sin by faith, because when you're doing this kind of spiritual warfare, you want to do it from the perspective of the throne room of God, not just out there as a spiritual lone ranger praying without the covering of God. So you appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ. You ask Jesus to cleanse you of all sin. You receive that forgiveness by faith. And then you come boldly to the throne room of grace to find an ever-present help of time of need. And so you pray those prayers to the Father, or you pray those prayers to Jesus Christ from a throne room perspective. That way the enemy cannot hear what you're praying. All right? And then you take authority over these generational curses. So, for example, you would simply pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I give to you my entire family, my family line, my lineage, my ancestors, my grandparents, my great-great-grandparents, and go back as far as you need to go back to. Go back 1,000 years by faith, because who knows what your ancestors were involved in 1,000 years ago? Some sacrificial rite in some occultic culture? That's not too strange. Okay, sometimes that's where the door opened. Somebody was involved in some occult society or occultic group that performed human sacrifice or whatever going back 1,000 years. You're not aware of it, but you can pray over it by faith. So you give the Lord your family line. You give the Lord your all the generations. You give the Lord, your uncles, relatives, children, grandchildren. You present your family and family line to the Lord, and you go back and say, Lord, I present to you all the generations and all the people in my family line. And Lord, first of all, as an intercessor, I come before you and I give you, and you name your family line or as best you can, and you present to the Lord your family line, and you say, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you right now, as I give you my family line, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that Jesus, you would break every generational curse, every demonic power, every spirit that has either come upon my family or has attempted to come upon my family, or any generational curse or demonic power that it's attempting to operate through the DNA and seed of my family. And Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to go back to the origination point, and I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over my entire family line. So wherever there were sins committed, or wherever some event happened which opened the door for demonic attachment or demonic visitation or some kind of evil spirit, like a spirit of murder or suicide and death, you pray over it and you say, Jesus, I ask that you bind any evil demonic spirit. I command it to be broken off every generation, my entire family. I command every demonic power, every evil spirit, every generational curse to be bound in the name of Jesus. I sever its control and attachment in the name of Jesus from every member of my family, from myself, my children, my grandchildren, so on and so forth. And you present your family line, you present your DNA, your genetics to the Lord, and you ask the Lord to break every generational curse, to break the power of the devil. You even if you don't know for sure, by faith, you repent for any wickedness, any sin, any occultic ritual, any satanic ritual, any witchcraft ritual, any evil that was done that could have opened the doors for these evil spirits. And you repent of them by faith, and you ask Jesus, you plead the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse your family line, and going back generation after generation to the very beginning. And you repent as an intercessor against any involvement in occult societies, et cetera, et cetera. And then you bind these generational curses, and you take authority over them by commanding them to cease operation. So you pray something like, Lord Jesus Christ, I command that every generational curse would stop being passed on to my family line. I bind every generational curse from manifesting itself in any family member in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bind any generational curse, any evil spiritual activity from being passed on through the DNA or genetics of my family. And Jesus, I ask that you would supernaturally deliver my family and my family line and my lineage and my genetic ancestors from any spirit, any curse, and shut the doors of any portal. And I plead the blood of Jesus over my entire family line. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you probably will want to pray that longer, more intensively, praising God. Write it down when you did it. But the point is, you see, until you do that, it's running amok. It's running rampant. Now, I don't want to say anything unkind and uncruel. But when this lady who called this radio program talked about this unusual number of mysterious deaths, suicides, and murders going back, you know, a generation or two, it was just the number of it and the strange coincidences after strange coincidences. I said to myself, there is no way that this is happening randomly. But she has to deal with it or go and be ministered to by ministers who know how to engage in spiritual warfare and break this generational curse, in her case, of death, murder, and suicide off of her family, or it's going to continue to operate and be passed along. I mean, it's good that she's being healed from the trauma and the emotional stresses and stuff. I'm not knocking that at all. But you've got to go to the root and break it. Then the other thing that's important is to pray over our family line, generations, and break every curse and do like a cleansing, because you do not know what your ancestors were involved in. Okay? You don't know what kind of occult rituals they were involved in, what kind of heavy-duty sins they committed and stuff that was never resolved before God, whether they ever repented to Jesus and asked to be cleansed by his blood. Because, you see, if they had done that, that would have stopped that generational curse from continuing. But if you go back into your previous generations in the family line and they've committed all these sins and violations against God and never repented of them, never asked God's forgiveness, never invited Christ to make them born again, then the spiritual energy of those generational curses are still active. The same thing can happen in a geographic territory, a community, a town, a nation. You can have a generational curse operating in a particular geographic location or nation or community or city or town or whatever. And the root of it, and you can have all kinds of chaos and disruption happening, like, for example, now. And nobody can quite put their finger on why these things are happening. But if you listen carefully to local people talk, if you listen carefully to people who know the personal knowledge of the local traditions and the personal knowledge of what happened locally going back a number of generations, you will almost always hear clues about something or things that happened in a community, a town, a location, an area, a mountainside, a village, a city. As you pay attention, you'll hear people, especially people who have been around and older people, they will make reference to something that is somewhat mysterious, or give you the nickname of the town, or why it's called by another name or whatever, or why it's called by whatever name it was. And those people who know the history of those geographic areas oftentimes can tell you, even though they themselves may not be Bible-believing Christians, they can tell you the historical account of tragedies, calamities, occult things, suicides, deaths, murders, criminal activity. I forgot where I was. Don't get my story mixed up, please. Because don't spread rumors about me because you didn't hear me right. I forgot where I was. I was speaking somewhere at a conference. And I forgot, can't remember. I think I was staying at a hotel. Oh, yeah, I think I don't want to name the name of the hotel. And I don't want to name the name of the state. This is about 2 years ago. I was speaking at a Bible prophecy conference somewhere in one of the southern states. Okay. And it was a nice area. And it was a place that was had a rich history of America. Okay, and the stories of this town and this geographic area go back to the 1700s or earlier. And the conference promoters put us up in a very nice hotel, and the hotel was one of these hotels where it was an historical monument. So yes, they refurbished, they redid everything, and you know everything was redone. It had new plumbing and everything, but they didn't mess with the original bricks, the original architecture, the original structures and foundation, et cetera. They tried to preserve as much as they could of its historical look in the past. So what somebody at the hotel told me was that this hotel, it was large and nice, and it was very well known in the town that this Bible prophecy conference was in. What they told me was that, I think they said like 100 years ago, this hotel was one of the largest houses of prostitution in a multi-state area. So you know, you're walking around the hotel, and your mind flashes 100 years back in time, and where the bar area is, I don't drink, where the bar area is and everything else. You can imagine this place flourishing with prostitution and business people and, the, you know, the whole deal. And so I thought that was odd because, you know, it didn't look anything like, I've never been in a house of prostitution, but it didn't look anything like what I would imagine a house of prostitution to look like. Because first of all, it was a huge facility. So as the story went, this was connected to either originally to like this Civil War. It was connected to gold and then House of Prostitution and stuff. And then somewhere along the line, business people changed it, bought it, and way back, you know, like 100 years ago, they bought it and turned it into a hotel, a decent, upstanding, excellent hotel with restaurants and stuff as they continued to build up and revamp and put life into a specific area. So a long time ago, they transformed it from a house of prostitution, et cetera, into an upstanding hotel with a restaurants and stuff. But the point is, and I'm not saying there were evil spirits lingering around the area. Who knows? I usually make it a practice when I go into a hotel to briefly pray over the room that I'm walking in and pray for the hotel interior and exterior, because you don't know what went on in the room that you're staying in. And you probably don't want to know what went on if you're going back long enough in time. So you don't know what kind of, I'm not saying there's spirits standing in the room, but quantum physics teaches us something, and I believe it agrees with the Bible, and that is that when things happen in the physical realm, let's say in a hotel room going years back, or in any room, when things happen in the physical realm, the actual furniture, the actual walls, the carpet, if it's the same carpet, the ceiling, it all contains on a vibrational level, I'm talking about frequency, it all contains on a vibrational level a memory of everything that happened in that room. Now, don't think I'm crazy. That happens to be what quantum physics has discovered. It's a scientific fact that furniture and a wall and a chest of drawers and stuff can actually contain memory of events, because all events produce electromagnetic frequencies, okay? Now, if those events are good, it would remember good events. If the events are evil or decadent, it would retain those events. And again, I'm not saying this is some universal law of what happens every time you walk into a room. I'm not trying to instill paranoia. And this goes along with the science of epigenetics, which deals with DNA also. And so that's why you can walk into a room, in a house, in a place, in a restaurant, in a hotel room, and you can sense, not all the time, but sometimes you sense very strange, weird vibes, oppressive vibes, evil vibes, or the sense that something evil happened there. Now, you can look at that a number of ways. You can look at it from the spiritual aspect, but just looking at it from a scientific perspective, whatever evil occurred in that hotel room is based on electromagnetic frequencies and vibrational levels. They have stored a memory of events Okay. And if you're a person that has a sensitivity to the spiritual atmosphere and the atmosphere all around you, you can sense it. Now, I know most of you listening to me, you have been in places where you may not know anything about the past of the place, but you've been in rooms and auditoriums and houses and towns and all kinds of places where you feel certain presences that are like notes out of tune, that are discordant, that bother you, that kind of have an oppression or an evil or upset you or disturbing, or, you know, they have kind of an evil tinge to them and you can't quite figure it out. Well, what I'm telling you is this is what you're dealing with. And so the Bible talks about the power of prayer. So, for example, when I go into a hotel room, I don't want my mind to go to what ungodly thing may have happened in that hotel room, if anything, by the way, over the last 30 years, if the hotel has been around a while. It could be drugs, murder, sexual stuff. It could be any kind of stuff, okay? I don't really want to know. I don't really want to think about it. But I do believe that you need to do kind of a spiritual house cleansing. So when you walk into that room, you bind the powers of darkness. You take authority over them and the hotel, interior and exterior, and especially in the room that you're staying in. You bind the principalities and powers. You take spiritual authority. And sometimes, by the way, you don't know. I don't know. There could be a spirit in the room, because nobody ever cleansed the room spiritually. I'm not saying you're demon-possessed, but there could be a spirit in the room that came into that location because of whatever portal was open. So you have to take authority in the spiritual realm, bind the principalities and powers, plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the room, ask that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse the room of all sin, and ask that the power of the Holy Spirit would sanctify the room and take authority and bind all spirits, principalities, and powers, and ask that the Lord would fill the room, the hotel room, or whatever room we're talking about, with his holy presence and with his Holy Spirit, and fill the room with his guardian angels and the hotel and the exterior of the hotel. You may say, well, that's a lot of work. It's a whole lot less work than having nightmares and strange flashback impressions in the middle of the night, and you can't figure out why you had a bad night's sleep, and you can't figure out why sleeping in this particular hotel room for whatever weird reason generated unusually disturbing nightmares in you. It's not just a random occurrence. Something in your human spirit, which played out in let's say, you know, you're having unusually bad dreams, unusually terrifying nightmares with very disturbing images. Well, it may be that something in that room triggered that in you while you were sleeping. And so when you take spiritual authority over the room and bind the principalities and powers and plead the blood of Jesus and ask God to fill the room with his Holy Spirit and his angels, you have sanctified or made holy that room. And therefore, if there was a spirit in that room, you say, well, how could there be a spirit in the room? You don't know what happened in the room. How do you know? I'm not trying to spook some of you, but how do you know that the person in that room wasn't performing a full-blown witchcraft ritual or some kind of occult ritual or satanic ritual in that room? How do you know that? How do you know? And I don't even want to have my head go there. But how do you don't want to know. And I don't want to know. And I'm not saying that anything happened. But sometimes the truth of the matter is something did happen. And so, because something did happen that was bad and evil and it was never dealt with, a door was opened an invitation for that presence to for an evil presence or spirit to have some kind of activity in that room. And that would go for a hotel, the exterior. It goes for towns. It goes for locations. It goes for people's houses or rooms in people's houses, deserted buildings. It goes for certain streets in cities. It goes wherever things have happened. And stuff could have happened 100, 200 years ago. That's why the Bible talks about, you know, when there's been a unrighteous war and murder and warfare where innocent blood was shed. And whenever innocent blood is shed, that's a murder. That's a violation of God's commandments. And so God says, because if nothing has been done to repent over it, God's word says the blood still cries out from the land. Well, what does God mean by that? God is saying that innocent blood was shed on the land where you may be. And nobody ever repented over it. Nobody ever pled the blood of Jesus over it. Nobody functioned as an intercessor asking God to cleanse the land of that sin. And so, since the spilling of unrighteous blood is murder, slaughter, it could be the slaughter of Indians, it could be the slaughter of a particular race or ethnic group, it could have been all kinds of weird stuff. The point was, is innocent blood was shed there, and if it was never dealt with spiritually through repentance and intercession, there's a foothold in that land and geographic area for pulling in the spirits of evil. And that's why God says the blood still cries out from the land. What he's saying is God is righteous and holy, and a horrible and just acts occurred over this territory. And God, who's holy, he can, the blood, the transgressions, the breaking of his law still cries out from the land. And God wants his people to deal with it in spiritual warfare. Now, this may sound complicated. It's not all that complicated, but it's something that you need to do as a believer in Jesus Christ. You need to take authority over your family line, your lineage, your location, your children and grandchildren, and so on and so forth, people in your family. This is part of prayer. Okay, prayer warfare. And I talk about this in my book, by the way, The Greatest Battle, because we have transgressed and broken so many of the laws of God in America that we have opened doors or portals for curses when God's intention for America is blessing. And God has a prophetic destiny for America, but that requires that God's people sync up and line up their lives, and then through intercessory prayer and doing what's right, make sure that the blood of Jesus is cleansing the land, et cetera, from all sin. So these are, you know, I could get much deeper into this. Maybe I will at some point, but it's important to understand and to not go off on the deep end on this, by the way, and to inflame a fanciful imagination and, you know, go make stuff up and stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about biblically dealing with generational curses. And you need to do that. Sometimes problems in geographic areas, territories, cities, towns, whatever. You can go back 200 years and there's a root thing that happened, a slaughter or a ritual. Something happened. Something evil. It could be a bunch of outlaw gang came in and blew everybody away and raped the women and stuff. I mean, I don't know, but the evil portal is still there. And so curses still keep coming. You know, the geographic location can be cursed. A land can be cursed. A nation can be cursed. A territory can be cursed. A family line can be cursed. So you've got to undo the curse through the blood of Jesus in prayer and then doing what's right. And nobody ever deals with the curse that curse will continue on. And God did not call us to inherit a curse, but to inherit a blessing in Jesus Christ. Sometimes, see, you're asking yourself, why do these things keep happening to me and my family and my children? I can't tell you the answer in every single case, but sometimes it's because nobody ever dealt with the spiritual root of the problem. And, you know, you got to be really careful what you say, because you can pass on generational curses, not only by failing to deal with them by taking authority over them spiritually, but by what you say. You can release the curse. You can reinforce the curse by speaking it, or you can speak blessing and reconciliation and healing. That's all part of spiritual warfare. I believe that this program, that people you know, perhaps yourself, are being victimized by strange, repetitive things in their family line, their generational line, where they live, or you know what I'm talking about. They're being victimized, and you're saying to yourself, as a believer, that there's something more. This is not just happening randomly. It's not just a matter of bad luck. There's no such thing as luck in the Bible. That there's a spiritual root to it that has to be dealt with. Okay, I'm not saying not every time is there some spiritual root, but many times there is. Anything that constitute a curse. So for example, being barren, not being able to have children, mental illness, etc., poverty, etc., addiction, etc. All of these things can be connected to a generational curse, and you will not be set free until you obey God and take authority and appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ. Because when you do that, and you don't do it because you feel like it, you do it out of obedience, God will break the oppression. God will break the curse. God will set you free. God will set you free. But you have to be active in praying. You know, my wife and I, we have three children who are adults now. And I was very much a part of the ministry of Dr. Jack Hayford, Pastor Jack at the Church on the Way in Van Nuys, California, for over 25 years. And he taught a lot of the generation of curse and how to pray against it. Backed Pastor Jack, we dedicated all our babies to the Lord. Pastor Jack held up each one of them when they were infants and prayed the blessing of God upon them and over our family. And I'm very thankful to Pastor Jack Hayford for doing that. But he taught how to pray against these kinds of things. He taught a lot of what I've been able to share with you. I learned from Pastor Jack Hayford. And Jack Hayford was a balanced teacher. I mean, he wasn't like, he didn't get off on the deep end, but he understood the power of these biblical truths. And you need to understand the power of these biblical truths, because God wants to set you free. Many times it seems like we're victims, perpetually being victims with, you know, sometimes it's like rampant sickness and disease, or continual poverty, or what appears to be bad luck and failure. Now, please, I am not saying by any stretch of the imagination that all of these things are because of some demon is attacking you. There are many other factors involved. You have to use discernment. It may have nothing to do with some demonic thing. It may have to do with a natural, material thing. Maybe there's diseases in your family because your family eats horribly unnutritious food and doesn't take care of themselves. I don't know. So I'm never quick to slap people with a label. But many times when you take authority over a generational curse or a curse and curses in your family line, and you break it in the name of Jesus Christ, in the authority of Jesus Christ, and appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses you of all sin. And it's been my experience. You know, I said you should pray it several times in your life. But to be perfectly honest with you, I have felt led by the Holy Spirit to pray this prayer in my family hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times over our marriage and raising kids, if not thousands of times. I didn't do it out of religious habit. I felt led because I felt like I didn't get it all. I needed to go back farther. And that doesn't mean God snaps his fingers and the pixie dust comes down and everything is just, you know, easy, easy. Everything's easy and you never have a problem. But you've got to fight the battle at its, you can fight the superficial part of the battle, but to win the battle, you've got to bring the spiritual battle to the heart of the battle. You know, people, believers in Jesus Christ, are not operating in the full wisdom that God has for them in engaging the spiritual forces of darkness that have a very real agenda over our nation. If we were listening to the spiritual battle plan of God and operating on it, we would be winning victory after victory. But you know, when you're meditating on Fox News Network and you're getting your battle plan from Fox News, I hate to tell you, you know, Fox News may be more informative to you than the other channels. Okay, I understand that. But they're not offering you anything of real Word of God, power of the Holy Spirit, spiritual substance, because they don't have anything to give you. So you can change your life and your children's life and your family's life and our nation's life if you learn the dynamics of spiritual warfare. You need to go to the Roku channel, Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church. The Roku channel is at paulmcguire.us. You need to listen to the archives of programs where I've taught on the generational curse on the Paul McGuire Report. You need to listen to the prophetic emergency alerts on video that we have for you. You need to read the books. You need to meditate and study and learn all you can. And the vast majority of our resources are free. You need to come to this next Paradise Mountain Church meeting coming up Thursday, January 30th at 6 p.m. sharp, where we're going to teach on this topic and related topics. You need to do that because God does not want his people downtrodden, being made slaves, going into captivity, being attacked, being victimized. God wants to make you victorious. And God's supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we should not be afraid of demons. And Jesus said, occupy until I come. Not be slaves until I come. Occupy, establish spiritual dominion until I come. That's our job. That's our job. So, the Lord impressed this on my heart. There are people you know right now, and maybe it's you and your family, where you are being victimized, attacked over and over again in repetition in similar areas. And there are people you know, and you're observing what's going on in their family and their generational line, and they're being attacked over and over and over again in similar areas. Okay? And nobody has taught them the truth on how to wage spiritual warfare and break generational curses. So they don't know what to do, and they're being victimized, and people are getting sick. They're dying. They're dying of other things. They're being addicted to drugs and other things that, in many cases, are unnecessary. The only way that they're going to hear the truth that can set them free is for you. Because I believe this is a really important truth that I've shared from the word. I believe that the Lord's speaking to you in your heart right now, and I believe with all my heart that the Lord is laying upon your heart specific people, specific social media groups where you need to share this message with, so victory can be brought to people. So, and it needs an introduction from you personally, so they know, you know, what it is. And I believe when they hear it, it will ring true to them, and the bondages will be broken, and the power of darkness will be broken over their lives. And I feel this very strongly, unusually strongly, as I'm speaking to you, that there is a huge number of you right now that as I'm saying these words, people you know, are the Lord is bringing people you know, circumstances that you know about. He's bringing them to your mind. Very crystal clear. You don't even have to think about it. The Lord is like bringing people and families and situations to your mind, maybe even your own family. Send them this message with some kind of explanation from you about what it will do for them. Because I believe that if they understand this and begin to apply it, they can break the generational curse. And God loves them and he wants to set them free. So it's so important that you help us get this message out, because so many of God's people are in unnecessary captivity. And the way we do that, because there's rigging in the internet, they don't want people to know this. That's really loving. So you have to send it out. You have to send out a link of this program. It's the only way to do that. And you need to spread it far and wide and be aggressive, but tell them why you're sharing this with them. And just trying to get this truth out there involves spiritual warfare, because the devil does not want people to know this truth. So I'm able to bring this message forward because many of you are my partners as intercessory prayer warriors, and you pray for me, my family, and this ministry. I thank God for you, because without your prayers, there would be no spiritual power to drive back the enemy and preach this message. So I thank God for your praying for us. I thank God for every one of you that obey the Lord and you send and spread these messages far and wide as the Lord tells you to. And then I thank God for every and each one of you who understand that to fight a spiritual war, it takes finances, because they keep trying to shut down truth. So we have to keep acquiring and growing the media ministry, and that costs money, because you've got to purchase all these. So, I mean, certain social media is free, but much of it you have to pay for. And so to really reach the people, the number of people we want to reach, we need finances to do that, finances to be victorious in a spiritual warfare. So I thank God for each and every one of you who sacrificially and generously obeyed the Lord. And when God told you to make a contribution or a donation to Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church, you did that. And I thank you for doing it. And I thank God for your continued obedience. I praise God for every one of you. I consider every one of you my partners. And I was tempted to share a battle story, but you know what? It would come off like I'm playing my own personal violin. So, you know what? You got problems. You have to face problems. Being in the ministry is no different. So I'm not going to bother you with my spiritual battles. In fact, when I renew my mind, I realize it's a privilege to have spiritual battles, because it's a privilege for you to have spiritual battles. It doesn't seem like one, but if you weren't doing anything for Jesus, Let me just share this with you as a closing thought. If you weren't doing anything effective for Jesus, you wouldn't be having spiritual battles. The only people the devil bothers with are the people that are a threat to the devil's kingdom. So you may not think you're shining much light. Well, if you're getting attacked, you're shining light, because the devil wouldn't be bothering with you if you weren't doing something to spread the gospel. Visit paulmaguire.us. That's paulmaguire.us. Get a copy of The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Help us spread the message. Help us spiritually occupy until he comes. And let's set the people we know free. I'm tired of seeing people, the devil, just chew up and rip up people's lives. It just bothers me. God gave us the power to defeat them. Let's teach our brothers and sisters how to wage victorious spiritual warfare. Visit paulmaguire.us. God bless you. I'm Paul Maguire.
Guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.